Good afternoon, friends. Hello. This is Judy Wilkinson, president of CLUA, and on behalf of my good friend and colleague Steve Fort, president of BRLC, we welcome you to this luncheon. We want you to enjoy it. Steve also asks me to remind you that at some point during this meal, John Ross will be circulating to collect money for the Braille Challenge, you know, where we support the kids who participate in the Braille Challenge, and all donations are greatly appreciated. And later, in about a half an hour, we look forward to hearing from our two speakers from the Braille Institute, Bonnie Grimm, Transcribing Manager, and Tracy Gaines, Braille Transcriptionist, who will be talking to us about Braille production and other services like that at the Braille Institute. So for now, go ahead and enjoy your luncheon. Welcome all. Well, our speakers have had time. May I have your attention? Our speakers have had time to wolf down their lunch, so it gives me great... I'm so excited to meet these two ladies. I've certainly been in email contact with both of them a lot. And it's a pleasure for me to introduce Bonnie Grimm, who's a transcribing manager, and Tracy Gaines, who's transcription specialist. Did I get that right, or did I get it reversed? Anyway, and so here they are, and they're going to discuss production kinds of things for Braille at the Braille Institute. We're delighted to have them with us.
Thank you, Judy. We would like to say thank you first to everybody here at CCB for inviting us. Can you guys hear me? No. Hello? Is that better? Okay, we got to talk a little loud, Tracy. Low. Loud, okay. Okay, again, I'd like to thank everybody for CCB for thanking us for having us come here today and speak to you. We were asked here today to speak to you about how you guys... What's that? Oh, you still can't hear me? Is it on? Okay, we were here today to talk to you about how we produce the Blind California for all of you guys and how you get it. So what Braille Institute does... for you guys, so you guys can all get the blind. Yeah. I'm Bonnie Grimm, and I work in the Braille Publishing Department of Braille Institute, and I'm the transcribing manager there, and I'm in charge of all in-house and commercial work that comes. I've been on the banner board for 6 years now. My term ends in December, unfortunately, and Tracy is... Oh, I'm sorry, I'm kind of yelling. Raise your hand if you can't hear us back there, though, and we'll yell more. Tracy here is a certified transcriber. She's a blind certified transcriber who works at Braille Institute, also in the Braille Publishing Department, and she can pretty much transcribe anything I give her, anything from pretty much anything. She doesn't have a problem with it at all. She works with Duxbury computer software, and anything I give her, she pretty much transcribes. We're first going to talk about how we produce the Blind California. I can start with telling you that I get the file first from Judy, the electronic file, and I pretty much do all the paperwork for it, the invoicing, get the whole paperwork going, and then I basically email the electronic file over to Tracy, who actually is going to take over now and tell you what all her steps are. Okay, here she is.
Okay. Good morning. Can you guys hear me? Okay. Excuse me. Okay. So once Bonnie emails me the file, I will open it in Word, because it's a Word file. And I look for certain things that need to come out in order for it to be a clean Braille file, which would be hard returns, print page numbers, and a lot of unnecessary emphasized print, like a lot of bolding, a lot of sometimes whole paragraphs may be bolded and aren't necessary. So those kinds of things I look for in the Word file. And then once I've done that, then I open it in Duxbury, move it over to Duxbury, and then I begin the process of formatting it for Braille, like putting in fifth cell headings, making sure the emails are correct and fall correctly on the page, centered headings, and those types of things in dashes that they don't have spaces around them. So mainly Braille formatting is what I work on in the Duxbury file. Then after that's done, then I translate it, and it goes to a proofreader for first proofing. After the first proofing, the proofreader sends it back, and I make the corrections. And then after that, we send it again for a second proofing. After the second proofing, if there's any more corrections that need to be made, then I do that. And then it goes to our production manager. And the production manager will give it to his team, and they will make the plates. And they make the plates on a machine that we call the PED. And we've been calling it the PED so long that nobody's really sure exactly what it stands for. But I think it's plate embossing device, although that sounded really good to me, so that's what I'm going with. And so that's what they make the plates on. And the way they do that, it's a machine that you fix the plate to. It's a modified version of Duxbury that's on the computer. And so they program the file name in, and it punches out the Braille onto the plates. After that, it goes to the proofreader again for a PED plate check. PED proofing is what we call it. And we've been doing that because at a certain point, the PED started to drop the dots on the plate, and we ran into a little bit of a problem. So for everybody's comfort, we started doing that third proofing. Then after that, I skipped one little step. After the plates are made, we send it over to what we call a proof press. And it's just the little, like, washboard type thing. And what they do is stick a piece of Braille paper, proof press paper, in between the plate. And the plate is done on both sides, so they stick it in between, the two plates, and they run through a little washboard thing. And so it's a very quick way of getting the Braille onto the paper from the zinc plate. And then that goes to the proofreader. And when that comes back, and if she doesn't find anything and everything's good, no dots are dropped or anything, then it goes to press. And when it goes to press, they run, usually it's four sheets at a time. And the Blind Californian's been somewhere around 80 pages, give or take. And I think about 160, 170 copies. So once that's done, and this is the most time-consuming part, because after that, we have staff and volunteers to collate. It gets put out on the table, and it's about 20 piles, and staff and volunteers hand collate the in California. They walk around the table, pick up each paper page at a time, and they hand collate it, and then it gets folded on a little folding machine by hand. All of this is done by hand. And so once it's been folded, then it gets page checked again, because sometimes our volunteers don't know Braille, and if they get mixed up or get distracted, pages can get out of order. So before we go any further, after it's been folded, it gets page checked. Then after it's page checked, it goes to a stitcher. And after it's been stitched, then it's prepared for stuffing into envelopes. And while that's going on, there's someone else pasting the labels. Once we receive the labels from CCB, they will be put on by either a volunteer or staff member onto the envelopes. And once that's been prepared, the Blind Californian goes into the envelopes, and then it gets put out onto the loading dock for shipping. Free matter. And then you receive your Blind California. Okay, I'm going to give it back to Bonnie for further.
You may. That was my next question. Do you have any questions?
Good question. I use JAWS, and I do have a Braille display on my computer at work, which helps out a lot because I can see the Braille right in front of me. But between the two, you know. They get recycled, yes.
No, actually, we do not have to flatten them out. The recycling company that we use will take them just like that, with the Braille on them and everything. Yes. Mm-hmm. There was one little step. After the third proofing, I believe, we do send the BRF electronic file to Judy. So she has it before we actually start production on the Blind California. Yes.
Excuse me. JAWS doesn't help with the Braille formatting. Because I'm listening to the what's on the screen, and that I actually have to know how no Braille formatting. So that's what I mean by when I'm using the JAWS, then I know where. If I'm using the Braille display along with it, but it's not necessary to have the Braille display. No, go ahead. Okay. Yeah. Okay, in Duxbury, I don't know how familiar you are with it, but it has codes. Okay. So Duxbury has codes. And so when I'm reading through it, or, you know, when JAWS is reading it to me, then I'm checking for certain codes to make sure that it's not putting it in the wrong format. Did that answer your question? Okay.
Also, the proofreader that we use has been proofing the Blind California for a very long time. So she is very familiar with the formatting of it, and she will know if something's off or, you know.
Right. Well, you know, there are codes for computer Braille, and the thing of it is that because I've been transcribing for a long time, I know what should be computer Braille and what shouldn't be.
Yeah. Okay. I think we had another question. Yes, we do. So there's no other questions about Blind California, correct? Okay, then we'll move on. I was also, can you guys hear me back there? I'm not hearing a no. We also were given some questions that Judy had sent to us that we would like to present and hopefully answer to correctly. The first one was, how much Braille production does the Institute have? Our main production right now is we have a massive collection of children's literature. And that is due to our special collections that we give out to children ages 3 to 18. And they're allowed to order books for free 3 times a year. So that is our main production right now, is that massive collection of children's literature. People can order the books also from our catalog. We also do the Braille Challenge. I know everybody's familiar here with the Braille Challenge. That keeps the Braille Publishing Department busy all year round. We have the preliminaries that we work on, and we also have the finals that we work on. So that, and we have lots of files for that also. Another thing that we do, we still do the Rose Parade in large print and Braille. This year is going to be a little different. I don't know if anybody's familiar with our Rose Parade, but this year we're going to have actually two separate books. There's going to be one book for large print and one book for Braille. And if I'm not mistaken, Tracy, is that going to be an 8.5 by 11?
As of now,
it's going to be an 8.5 by 11. Does anybody get the Rose Parade? Just a show of hands. Do you guys think 8.5 and 11 will actually be a good thing? Yes, I'm hearing yes. Okay. Okay, another thing that we do a lot of commercial work, and we do keep these files. So like when people want knitting patterns and stuff like that, we do keep those files, cookbooks, all kinds of things like that. And we do keep those files. We put them actually in a catalog. So if somebody does want, if they call up and say, do you have any knitting patterns, then we look in our catalog and we do have those available for everybody also that you can order. Any questions about that one? No. Okay, the second
question. Oh.
Yes, the catalog's available. All you have to do is call Braille Institute and talk to Jackie Garcia. And she can definitely get you a catalog. Catalog is free. And we're constantly trying to update the catalog. That seems to be our hardest thing. You know what? I'll have to check on that one. Jackie Garcia is in charge of that app. So, actually, when you call, you can go ahead and ask. I'm sorry, I don't have the answer to that one. Okay, the second question was, do you still do the Braille for Bookshare when someone wants a book transcribed? We started out doing Bookshare at the very beginning when Bookshare came out, and as of now, no, we do not do the transcription for the Bookshare. The Bookshare books, when they first started out, I don't know if anybody's aware of Bookshare, but the formatting and the Braille was not a very good quality. So it was a little complicated for us to do and stuff like that. So it actually spent a lot of time fixing the formatting and the quality of the Braille. I can tell you, though, as a board member, that they have improved. Bookshare has improved greatly, actually. They have a lot of, the quality of the Braille is very good. They still have some format issues that they need to work on, but the quality of Bookshare is doing really good. But no, we do not do that anymore. And I can't even tell you who does do it because I'm not really sure. Okay, the next question was, what challenges and opportunities do you foresee in regards to Braille transcription services in the future? Now, as a BANA board member, I really hate to bring this up, but UEB is out there. I really think that this is a challenge and an opportunity, I kind of see it as. Of course, the challenges is going to be, if the United States does intend to adopt it. We've got the challenge of, training new transcribers, of course, and all of that. And we also do have the challenge of, people accepting it if we do decide to go with that. Yes, I see a question. I would not say that we're in the process of adopting it, no. But I can tell you that the UK has officially adopted it as of, I believe, last week. The UK, I'm not sure about that. I believe it's all one code. I know what you mean. That's why I didn't want to bring it up. I know that And also, but yes, the UK, as believe as of last week, just adopted the UEB. Yes, I know. Yes, we have a question. We haven't really spoken about NUBS much lately because we knew that the UK was going to go through, you know, they were on the verge of getting the UEB, so we've been really concentrating on that as far as the banner board is concerned. But we are still looking into NUBS. You know, I do know that. It hasn't, like, flown away or anything. The other thing with the opportunities of UEB, you know, of course, I see out there, you know, a lot of jobs for some transcribers and proofreaders and some industries, you know. Those are some good opportunities because I know there's not a lot of transcribers out there right now in the U.S. that know this code. So, yes, so if you were to learn it, then, of course, you know, that's job opportunities out there. So that's the opportunity. And, of course, you know, the students. So any questions about that one? Yes, we do. At Braille Institute, that's one of our main goals. We promote Braille literacy. Yeah.
It's still pretty strong because especially with the ADA laws that a lot of businesses have to make it available. And so they're still ordering it. And I do still see the schools and that type of thing. I'm on a listserv, Braille and Teach. And so there's still a lot of large print, but there's also still the demand for Braille.
Actually, I don't really know the question about the answer to that one, but at Braille Institute, we really don't get that much, you know, just for e-Braille. I do know that we will be putting our Braille special collections on that, but we still get lots of things for large print and Braille also. And another thing we've noticed, me being in charge of the commercial work, we've noticed a lot more cities actually asking for emergency preparedness brochures in Braille. We've been working on a lot of those. Goodwill, we just did a massive thing for Goodwill on the emergency preparedness and all of everything that they offer. But that's what I've noticed more than anything right now is that the cities. Yeah, I've been getting a lot of those. Did we have another question back there? Okay. Production cost has actually gone up. I'll be honest with you. Braille Institute has raised their prices just recently, mainly just to keep up with production costs, so because we can't do everything for free. We do still do a lot of things, you know, and it's still, I think, pretty affordable, but then at the same time, the materials are affordable, I'd say. It seems like the transcription and the proofreading, I think, has gotten up because most transcribers now work from home, and so do the proofreaders, and they want to get paid a little bit more money because they're certified, and you know, they kind of deserve it. I mean, you know, they work hard. But yes, the production cost has gone up, especially at Braille Institute, I will be honest with you and tell you that. Yes, sir. Oh, okay, go ahead. Nubs. No. That was a miss. No. I said no. We were looking at Nubs quite frequently. I said recently we have not been looking at Nubs because we've really been. No, we were just concentrating on that. We were just working more on the NUBS, not the NUBS, I'm sorry, the UEB, because we were kind of working closely to see how UK would go, just like the, just as when Canada actually also adopted it recently. We were having the UK come out to the banner board and talking to us and stuff, just like we did with Canada when they did it. It wasn't that we're not looking at NUBS at all. It's just recently we have been, you know, really focusing on UEB. But no, NUBS is not on the shadow or anything. We do plan on going back to looking at NUBS. I agree.
And there's something you need to keep in mind too, of all the different countries that are looking at adopting UEB, we're the only ones that haven't made a decision yet. So that's why they've been having to focus more on that at this time, because we're the only ones that haven't voted yet.
And I can tell you that as far as I know, being on the banner board for 6 years, we are not close to making a decision that I know of, but I will not be on the banner board as of December, so I won't get to make that decision. Yes, we have a question in the back. Oh, that's a good question. We have a specialist at CTE BVI, which I did forget to mention, that Tracy is the new incoming vice president of CTE BVI. As of March, she will be the vice president of it. We do have a specialist there. I do know that Dancing Dots still produces Braille. Grant Horrocks. Richard Tate, yes. I couldn't remember his name. Yes, Richard Tate, I don't know if everybody's familiar with him. But if you call CTE BVI, if you need something done in music, we can actually help you get that done in music. But we do have people who are doing it, and we do have resources for that. Are you interested in finding somebody? CTE BVI. Well, it changed, actually. Tell me if I get it wrong, Trace. It's California Transcribers and Educators for the Blind and the Visually Impaired. It used to be known as CTE VH, correct? Yeah, and we just changed our name recently. So if you know what CTE, and our conference actually is in March this year, right next door at the LAX Marriott. Yes. And just real brief, another thing for the opportunities and the challenges, I really wanted to mention proofreading. Proofreading is really, I don't know what happened to all the proofreaders, but, you know, that is really an opportunity. I see in the future, and I see it now. There are no proofreaders out there. We're very low on proofreaders, especially Nemeth ones. I know that the Braille Institute has had an opening for the proofreading for years now, and we can't even, one of the biggest things I'm noticing is that transcribers and proofreaders now like to work from home, which they, of course, who wouldn't want to do that? But the agencies are having a hard time finding somebody to work in the industry, actually on site. And so that's a really big challenge for us, I see it as a great opportunity also for, you know, proofreaders that are out there. So if you guys know any, contact me. At the Braille Institute. Do we have any last questions? Oh, there's someone in the back. Go ahead, sir. Yay, that's a good one. Okay, call Braille Institute and talk to Bonnie Grimm. All right, we have Judy here. Thank you guys very much for your time.
We want to allow everyone plenty of time to get to the first session, which is just in the next room down the line. But I want to so thank our guests for coming to be with us today and for giving us such interesting information. Let's have another round of applause for our guests.